Welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, a podcast for Canadian small businesses. We interview Canadian experts and entrepreneurs to provide expert insight into marketing, innovation, business leadership, technology, and trends that impact small businesses.
Whether you're just getting started or already established, UPS is here to help you make the most of your time. Their services, tools, expertise, and team of UPS Small Business Ambassadors can help businesses of all sizes simplify processes, improve customer experience, and guide you on the path to growth. My name is Elaine Tancomo, founder of Easy Daisies, Daily Visual Schedules for Kids, and I want to invite you to visit UPS.com to learn more and save up to 52% or more on shipping. This is a paid advertisement.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. This is Kripa Anand and you're listening to AI for SMBs, a dedicated series where we spotlight the transformative power of artificial intelligence for small and medium-sized businesses in Canada. In this series, we are diving into how AI is reshaping the future of work, redefining productivity and delivering real ROI for startups and businesses ready to embrace innovation. Joining us today is Steve Mast, co-founder and managing partner at 2044, a company on a mission to increase AI adoption and prepare the workforce for the future by first preparing culture for AI, then identifying the fastest paths to ROI, and finally deploying AI solutions that drive productivity and growth. So before further ado, let's welcome him. Steve, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, and thank you very much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, Steve, AI is transforming businesses, right? But successful adoption goes beyond the technology. So let's start by discussing what are some of the most critical considerations for businesses looking to adopt and utilize AI effectively, especially in today's time, you know, when they're preparing for their culture for AI. And it's more than, just a shift. It's also about a mindset shift. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you've said it several times now in the introduction. It's the first and foremost is really creating an AI-ready culture. Mm-hmm. It's often really one of the most overlooked aspects of AI adoption is the culture thing. Now, you could look back at many technologies that have come over the last sort of 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And yes, cultural change or change management side of organizations is incredibly important for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's never been more important as it relates to AI. And what ends up happening often, at least we've been seeing, is organizations are sort of taking a very traditional technology deployment where they're jumping to finding the tools, models in this case with AI, and preparing their people after the fact. I would almost in this case invert it and call it more around preparing your people first and really creating this culture for AI readiness. So, and a lot of that really will help dispel some of the things that have really been causing trouble in sort of the marketplace, which is things like, why is there so much friction? Why is adoption rates hovering at around 60%, in some case lower? I would say proficiency in people using AI is hovering at around 10 to 15%. So why is this? I mean, we've been now with sort of generative AI with mm-hmm. the last couple of years. So right. Why is it sort of taking time? And really, there's kind of three things I would say organizations should really focus on, particularly with your audience, with the small to medium businesses. Demystifying is the first one. And that's really, turning threats into opportunities. It's training, education. Really, all of that comes back to sort of digital fluency. So demystifying is the first thing. The second thing is, and this is really critical, and it's hard for small to medium businesses to really sometimes implement this, but it's really important, is setting guardrails. So these are things like principles, policies. And look, I ran a small company for 20 plus years. Setting policies isn't necessarily top of mind. It's revenue generation. But in this case, things like policies or even the beliefs of management and the organization and where they're going, those are the principal part of it. Mm-hmm. All of that can get wrapped up to even into something we refer to as a manifesto. And then the third thing, so demystifying, setting guardrails, and the last one really about this, creating an AI-ready culture, is the leadership aspect. This is something more so than any other techno. This is not something that can be passed to your head of IT or outsourced, right, even in this case. This needs to start with the CEO, the president, the owner, the founder, them embracing it and really guiding and leading people to really an AI-ready culture.
Well, that's a very insightful starting point for sure. And, you know, by whatever you mentioned, it's clear that cultural readiness is as important as, you know, technological readiness when it comes to successful AI integration. Now, with that said, is there any specific misconception that you think, you know, people have about AI, and if you want to demystify that?
There's really several. We sort of refer to it as people are kind of caught in this this loop, if you will, and we often refer to it sort of the hype loop, and it really is kind of the, you know, what is it? Wow, that was really neat. I asked it a question and it responded and gave me my recipe for dinner tonight. That was fantastic. Wow. And then you ask it some tougher questions, or right, you're asking it to create some things, and all of a sudden, you know, again, we can get into a whole conversation around hallucinations, but maybe it doesn't exactly tell you what you want to hear, what you think you want it to say. So then there's this kind of this pause and wait moment. So we're constantly in this like what, wow, wait cycle. Mm-hmm. And what's really happening with that is we then get stuck in this, well, we'll wait for the other person or the other organization. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being a fast follower. Right. You know, many organizations, Apple is famous for that. Yeah. But the struggle with that with AI is just the speed in which this is happening and which organizations that are embracing it are starting to find success with profitability and productivity, not just efficiency, which we can get into that later on, but really with productivity and profitability. So one of the things really to think about when you're sort of trying to implement AI and start to kind of demystify it is tell people in very honest ways what you think of it. So I often tell people, I think culture in general, society in general, is really shaped by the better part of 100 years of media, movies, stories.
Exactly,
about
the pop culture.
A machine. Yes. Right. So like this happened back when you think about it, the first real evidence of a machine created by humans was Frankenstein. So, and we all know the end of that story where this monster was created and wreaked havoc on this town. And so ever since then, we've had Terminators, and it's always been the dark side of where AI or artificial intelligence can take us, not necessarily the good side. By the way, I do believe we need to be cautious. We need to be putting the right government policies in place. We need to be thinking about this very mindfully. This is going to be a massive job disruptor. But at the same time, there is such great opportunity. So turning threats to opportunities, I think, is something that we really need to be thinking about when we're shaping this.
No, definitely. That's a very positive outlook and a very interesting point of view as well. So thank you for highlighting that and educating us. Now, you know, Steve, as AI continues to evolve, it'll also reshape the workplace, you know, transforming roles and the skills needed to thrive. As you correctly mentioned, it'll also disrupt the job market. It already has, right? So how exactly do you foresee AI fundamentally changing the nature of work in the workplace in the coming years? If you could just expand on the thoughts where you think it'll replace humans or it'll work hand in hand with humans. Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe it'll work hand in hand. But really, I think all of this is really moving from what I would sort of refer to as we've been in execution mode as sort of human beings versus we're all going to have to become really good at orchestrating. So in other words, we're all going to have to become really good managers, and we're going to be managing machines, not necessarily humans, or a combination thereof into the future. But in the future, we will have artificial intelligence, machines, robots, these kinds of things automating repeatable functions. Right. So
with that in mind, is there any specific, you know, set of skills that will be most important for employees to cultivate? And, you know, how exactly can businesses, you know, adapt their organizational structures to leverage AI effectively, you know, without actually burning out their teams?
Yeah. So I call it sort of the three C's, and these won't seem overly surprising to anybody, but the first C is, and this is really what I would say sort of skills that you need your people to really start to learn. So critical thinking is going to be really, really key. That would be number one. Number two, this idea of curiosity. I would hire people that were curious over highly skilled in my business for many, many years, because curiosity leads to opportunity every single time. And then the third one, which is probably the most important one, and I tell my kids this all the time, is you need to be an unbelievable collaborator and a super communicator. So doing more of these kinds of things, like podcasts, things like that, is a good sort of way to sort of up your communication skills. But so critical thinking, curiosity, and collaboration / communication. I kind of put those two things together, because to be a good collaborator, you need to be a good communicator. So those are the three C's. I also want to just expand when you're talking about like adapting businesses and things they should be sort of looking at. And this is something, by the way, this isn't necessarily, I think it's just being accelerated because of AI, but you need to start thinking about restructuring your teams and your organization around the outcomes, not the specific duties or roles that they're doing or the responsibilities. It needs to be structured about outcomes, because AI can do the roles. AI can start to do the responsibilities. So that's one thing. The other thing would be, we talked about it early on around the leadership and guardrails, but that leadership and governance, I can't explain how important that is as it relates to sort of trying to adopt AI into your business. And then the final thing too would be that upskilling or reskilling. This is going to be the responsibility of not just the individual. I think the individual has to take a lot of responsibility in going out and taking some AI courses and understanding what's going on, or listening to podcasts like this. But I do think, again, this is the responsibility of the businesses to think about how do we reskill, how do we upskill our folks.
Wow, that's a very well-articulated answer, and also a very comprehensive, you know, forward-looking vision. And also going back to your three C's, absolutely love them. It highlights the profound impact that, you know, AI will have on roles, skills, and organizational dynamics, requiring a thoughtful approach from leaders, managers, and, you know, literally everyone involved. Before we go any further, here's a special message for all of our listeners, especially for all the business leaders and entrepreneurs. Are you preparing your team and culture for the AI revolution? Remember, strategic AI adoption starts with cultural readiness and understanding the future of work. But let's get back to our conversation with Steve and explore practical advice for entrepreneurs. Now, building a business today requires resilience and the ability to adapt to emerging opportunities. Now, Steve, what key pieces of advice would you offer to young entrepreneurs and, you know, small business owners today who are navigating the complexities of launching, growing, and scaling their ventures in an increasingly AI-driven market? Someone who is, you know, in a similar journey as you, or someone, you know, who has been through all of those things, what would you say to them?
There's really three things, and I've spent my career building and selling a number of organizations. The first one was actually, I was about 22 years old when I built a small business and sold it, and then ever since kind of got hooked on that. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a serial entrepreneur, but learned a lot of lessons along the way. The first one is you never do this alone. As much as they talk about being an entrepreneur is a very lonely sort of experience, yes, it can be, and you have to make a lot of hard decisions, but My success has always come from never doing it alone. These are friends, family, partners. Partners is hard in building a business, as everybody knows, but it can be incredibly rewarding as well when it works. So don't do it alone. The second thing would be boring equals profitability. I've spent most of my career in either some kind of technology or very interesting careers. One of the first things I ever did was I actually designed and produced video games. And oh, so wow. As exciting as that sounds and interesting as that sounds, it's hard to make money at that. So yeah. At the back half of my career, the last business that we built and sold, we were doing online surveys. And it's not the most exciting business, but it's incredibly mm-hmm. profitable and incredibly meaningful business. So boring equals profitability. Find yourself something that is, I guess, boring can be defined as the eye of the beholder, but boring profitability, sure. And then the last one, really, kind of back to the AI. This really is not a tech trend. I've seen enough tech trends through the birth of the internet. I'm old enough to remember, email first becoming pervasive inside of organizations. So these things took time, absolutely. Everything that's come before AI, and we're talking about not just the last 20, 25 years of technology innovation, we're talking about 50, 60 years of technology innovation. Everything that's been built atop, AI has been built on top of all of that. And it's accelerating at a pace that is like nothing else we've ever seen. And it's having meaningful impact to businesses. So it's not a tech trend. And then the other part of it too is it is a people challenge. This is going to be one of the largest people challenges we've ever faced in business ever. And we need to get ahead of it. So the sooner you start to think about your organization, how ready it is, how ready your people are, readying your organization, getting the culture ready, is incredibly critical right now in business.
Wow, that's incredibly valuable guidance, Steve. And, you know, when it comes to adaptability, strategic thinking, and leveraging new technologies, they are paramount for success in today's environment. So thank you so much for highlighting those. Now, to maximize the impact of AI, businesses need to focus on strategies that deliver immediate results and clear value. 2044's framework helps identify the fastest path to ROI in AI. Now, what exactly does this, you know, process entail, and how can businesses pinpoint the most impactful AI opportunities to drive productivity and growth rather than, you know, just wasting their resources, already limited resources as a small business owner, on, you know, less effective initiatives?
Yeah. And really our process to be able to do that is the practical part of it is first the assessment. And these are things that we obviously have tools and mechanisms that we've created to be able to do those assessments and also index against other types of organizations. So if you're in retail, we can index you against other retail organizations, see where you stand. But that just gives you a kind of a benchmark and an understanding where the organization is. But really what you do is you need to understand that limitation, because you need to first figure out the knowledge of the organization. You need to understand what applications people are using. You need to understand sort of what the limits, the uppers and lower limits of how people understand and use AI. Like, we run what we call a proficiency test, which is really a prompting test. And it's incredible how many people fail that prompting test, where people think they're actually really good or they're not necessarily getting the most out of AI. Well, it's obvious why they're not. It's because they're not really prompting it or asking the right questions. Right. And then there's an ethical aspect. So the knowledge, the applications, limitations, and ethics. That's what the assessment really covers. From there, we can start to actually map out opportunities or really identify pain points in the organization that AI could really help with. Again, AI right now is a powerful tool, and I'll call it a tool, but it's not right for everything. And people that are trying to apply it to things that it just isn't right for are failing. So find the right pain points and the right places that AI can really maximize, and then prioritize those opportunities as well. We actually created an opportunity scoring index on that. It kind of looks at impact, ease, and readiness. So like, what's the impact in the organization? Are you going to get ROI out of it? Is it just going to create some efficiency? What's going to happen with it? How easy is it? Like, are you running Copilot? Maybe we just need to build something on top of Copilot. Maybe it's something that's easy to implement. And then the readiness thing is really, we've already talked a lot about the readiness piece as well. All of that before you've ever gone out and looked at what AI tools or models that you want to start to use. So those are the kind of the steps that we use in terms of our framework. And again, this all starts with practical to productivity to profitability.
Well, again, that's a very practical and, you know, result-oriented approach. As you correctly mentioned, focusing on, you know, measurable returns and quick wins, it's essential for building confidence in AI adoption. Now, Steve, businesses need clear guidance on, you know, how to assess their current capabilities. You recently launched the A1/44 readiness product, which includes an assessment and tools to help businesses. For all of us, firstly, can you explain what is this product and what does it offer, its core features, and how exactly does it provide a clear roadmap for SMBs to, you know, gauge their AI knowledge adoption and potential?
Well, the first thing is we figured if we wanted to really assess an organization's AI readiness and capability, we needed to actually create an AI agent in this case, or assistant that actually runs. So the AI44 readiness product is actually an AI agent that actually goes in and it asks whoever you want in your organization. Sometimes it's just the leadership team. Sometimes it's a specific functional unit within the organization. Sometimes it's a broader team. But it literally goes in and it creates a conversation. And then from that conversation, we get a score out of 44 to really help understand where your organization is and basically benchmark you. It's kind of like getting a credit score. We find most organizations hover in somewhere around the 12 to 15 out of 44. We've had a couple organizations that have been greater than 20, but those are few and far between, particularly in the small to medium businesses. We would have thought it would be higher, but it's typically sort of fits into that space. One of the great things about this too is because we've accumulated so much data around different organizations is that it also can create a quick win roadmap for you. This is kind of a 3 to 6 month set of goals and things that you can start to think about doing. Some of the things we've already talked about, or we can come in and obviously help you go through that in a bit more of a sort of rigorous process. And we've actually created we'll call it sort of an enterprise-y version. And we've also created I'm happy to provide this to your listeners. It's a free version that allows you to assess yourself and your organization very quickly. And it kind of gives you sort of, again, back to the scoring. It's not quite as elaborate, but it actually gives you, you're a dino AI organization, right. Those kinds of things. So it's just kind of a fun way to sort of get yourself kind of thinking about where the organization's at. So that's what the AI44 readiness product does.
Wow. No, definitely. It sounds like a lot of fun and also a very valuable tool for businesses who are specifically looking, you know, for a structured way to assess their AI readiness and get a data-driven roadmap for confident implementation. Now, Steve, before we let you go, if there's, you know, any specific key takeaway you'd like our listeners to remember about this episode and, you know, one piece of final advice you'd like to leave with our business leaders who are just starting their AI journey, how exactly can they move from the curiosity part to genuine capability?
Yeah, well, we talked about it a little bit before. I truly believe that AI is not just a tech trend. This is much more fundamental. But I think if there was one sort of takeaway from all of this, I mean, I spent many years immersed in technology, fascinated by the power and potential of technology. This organization that we have now, 2044, is 100% about the people part of it. this is about the humans and the human equation in this. You brought up before sort of the collaboration, or how do people and AI work together, machines and AI work together. Well, I believe we need to be really spending a lot of times asking ourselves a lot of questions around the human element of it. If you think of most businesses, all businesses, they are made up of humans. Yes, there are many businesses that have automated large parts of their business. In fact, we're now seeing this trend of not just the first $1 million entrepreneurial business, but we're starting to see the emergence of the $1 billion entrepreneur from AI. Again, there are very few of these, but there's going to see more and more of these over time. But all of these organizations still have a very strong human element. There are humans on some end of this, either buying or selling what you're offering. Yeah. So how do we unlock this human element? It's a fascinating problem to try to solve. It really is. But I think it's hugely overlooked. And I think the one thing is, again, I mentioned this earlier on about the CEO or the leadership team. I do find many organizations, again, nothing wrong with IT leaders or technology leaders, but I really fundamentally think that this needs to be a CEO or really truly the leadership team's challenge, and not just pushing this into an IT group and going, you know, build me some AI. Like, that's not how this is going to work.
Wow, that is an incredible answer. And Steve, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and knowledge with us, your practical advice, you know, on AI adoption and preparing for the future of work. It's truly valuable for our listeners. And we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. So thank you so much. All right, that was an insightful conversation with Steve Mast, co-founder and managing partner at 2044, on effectively adopting AI in businesses, preparing for the future of work, and offering valuable advice to entrepreneurs and small business owners. 2044 is on a mission to increase AI adoption and prepare the workforce for the future through its unique framework and tools like the A144 Readiness product. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more expert insights and resources that can help your business thrive. Also, don't forget to visit our website, canadiansme.ca. And lastly, a very special thank you to our podcast partners, RBC, UPS, A1 Global College, and Google, for their ongoing commitments to empowering SMEs. Until next time, keep innovating and striving for success, and we'll see you in the next episode. Kripa Anand signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Canadian SME Podcast. Please visit canadiansme.ca to subscribe and join us next again as we share more expert advice from Canadian business leaders.